coyote is the government. The fire next time. As California burns in the summer of 2018, I remember the words of a Native American elder. I met him 20 years ago at the gathering of the Pitt River tribes below Mount Shasta, California. Mr. Willard Rhodes told me the story of coyote. He seduced the people into violating the laws of nature and of right living, and how old man, the Creator, responded. It reminded me then, and even more so now, of the African-American spiritual. God gave Noah the rainbow sign, no more water, the fire next time, with one important difference. In the story told by Willard Rhodes, the Creator punishes transgressions by sending first the ice and then the flood that we know as Noah's flood. However, the fire next time will not be set off by the Creator. The fires that can destroy the earth will be ignited by coyote and by the people in a terrible act of self-incineration. Willard Rhodes passed away on September 12, 2006. To this day, he's missed by the Pitt River tribes and his family. Here's my introduction from the original broadcast in the year 2000. Mr. Willard Rhodes received the story of coyote from his grandfather and grandmother, who saw the future before it had arrived. I met Willard Rhodes at a summer camp on the land of the hereditary chief of the Ajumawi, a position that was eliminated by the U.S. government when they replaced traditional governments with their tribal council systems. Not far from the land where I met Willard Rhodes was a U.S. Army fort from which, beginning in the 1850s, the Army ventured out to kill or forcibly remove as many of them as they could find. Only a few families survived by hiding in the mountains. Willard Rhodes is one of the last elders who remember the rich heritage of the Isatwe. He learned the cosmology of his people that sees the earth and the stars and the galaxies as cells in a heavenly body. He was taught to read petroglyphs and to understand how these huge rock carvings were made without the use of modern tools. Willard Rhodes told me that he was born in Goose Valley, in a little town the Indians call Yowamki. He spoke about his father in a way that showed the love and respect he had for him. His father had a small ranch and was able to feed many people during the Depression. His grandparents were the source of his stories. They were told him at night when he slept in their room. Even after he began making his own living at age 14, as construction worker and ranch hand, he returned to their house to learn. The story of coyote and that of the spider and the lizard were told to me on a very hot day in view of the massive snowy volcanic cone of Mount Shasta. The sounds you're hearing come from the children playing, the wind, and a drum in the distance. Here is Mr. Willard Rhodes.
The coyote is the government, or the people that work for the government, the police, anybody that wears a badge, anybody that tries to overrun other people, that's the coyote. There's very few people within the law that have a humane feeling. They all have to do exactly what that badge permits them to do. They can't do anything without jeopardizing it, and they're afraid they'll lose their job. That's what I mean about the coyote. So the Indians had a way of telling the story, so they used this old coyote for a lot of different things.
Was it coyote who brought the automobile?
Well, the old coyote refixed those automobiles. He's the one that had them made. That's the large corporations, whatever. So he made an automobile, and it hurt people in the end. It's destroying and hurting people more and more and more. Everything that the old coyote fixes hurts people, such as the dams they put in the rivers. What does it hurt? It hurts all the fish. It hurts all the animal life that lived along that river. It hurts the people, and it poisons the water. In the first place, the rivers were clean. Well, it was always running free. When they dammed them up, they started getting dirty and rotten. The shellfish that lived in the rivers are all dead or all full of bugs or worms. That's what the old coyote does. Everything that you try to make better in the end hurts you. That's the coyote.
What about TV?
TV is poison. TV poisons children's minds. It gets them to where they don't think right anymore. They think that the TV is something that's almost real. Everything is fixed like that. It's fixed to brainwash children. Even to education, schools, is fixed to brainwash children. Before, when children went to school, they started in at the first grade. They were probably 6 to 7 years old before they started. Everything that you learn before that age stays with you. You don't forget that part. So what do? They take the little children, 3 years old, send them to the little preschool, and they regimentate them. You sit down and you take orders. Whatever somebody says, you have to do. And that goes on from preschool to kindergarten. That's the time that they are implanting their thoughts within that children's mind. The old coyote's thoughts, not humane thoughts. They take the humane feelings away from people. And then all through school, what do they teach you? They teach you how, well, I always call it percentages. How to give a man a dollar and get back three. That's what they teach you in school, is always how to get more for what you give. And if you don't believe it, just look what happens. Look at your own education. What did it teach you? Education is a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. But most people use it to cut the wrong way. If a person uses this education to help people, then it's all right. But if he uses education to take away from people, then it's wrong. And 90% of them use it to take away from people. On the world before this one, people had everything that's imaginable. Everything that you have today, they've had then. This is why they said, whatever you build or whatever you do, it's already been done. So don't do it. So the people got to the place where they didn't need the Creator anymore. And they said so. Look at us, what we've got. We've got all the food we need. All we have to do is get on our web and talk, and it's brought to us. And it was brought to people by other people that weren't people. In other words, robots, because they were made by man. They didn't have a mind of their own, they'd just done it. And that's when the old man got angry. He said, well, if the people don't need me anymore, I don't need them either. So I'm going to destroy this world. So he told his helper, who was the fox, or we call him Kwan, he said, you gather the people that remember me, and you make the web like the little spiders fly in, and we'll move the people that remember me to another world that I have already fixed for them. I've already fixed it. So the old coyote got word of it. And he rushed around and he got a hold of the anchor that was holding the ship down and he wouldn't turn it loose. And he begged. He said, take me with you. I know what you're going to do. You're going to destroy this world, and I don't want to die. And if you take me with you, I won't do the things that I've done before. I won't teach him this. And the old fox, he said, well, if you do that, I'll take you. But he said, you got to promise that you won't teach the people that way anymore. All right, he said. So he took him, he got on and he brought him. Well, when they landed, or just before they landed, in our stories, they were coming up Pitt River down the canyon down here. And the old coyote looked out and the ship was flying right close to the ground and he said, that looks like a pretty place. So he jumped off. And his footprints are still in the rocks down there. About a summer seven shoe or moccasin foot, right side by side. And then the ship came on over and it landed up here by Pittville, and that's where his house was. And he lived there for a while. And then he rebuilt everything he fixed to people from there. And that was way before the freeze. And then he told the people, and if you do the things you've done before, we'll freeze you to death. But I'll save a few that remember me. And he's always doing that. But they couldn't get rid of the old coyote because he was already here and you can't kill him. You can't kill a spirit. So the people lived and finally they got to doing things that they weren't supposed to do again. The old coyote said, well, we ought to fix this over. It's not good enough. We'll rebuild it. So the old man froze him, froze this whole country. Now this has all been proven by things that have happened. They know this world's been frozen. And he said, if you do it again now, after he fixed it, he said, if you do it again, we'll drown you. So it went on for a good many years, and finally, he got tired and he said, well, you people don't behave. You're going back to the ways you've done before. So he said, I'm going to flood this world. But he said to his helper, he said, you make two canoes, two boats. You make them out of redwood, he said. And he said, and you gather food and you put in one boat enough to last 7 years. Because he said, that's how long it's going to be flooded. That's so everything will die. So he got ready and he fixed these two little boats. He put all the food in it and the old coyote, he come along again, he said, I know what you're going to do. You're going to drown all these people. He said, and I don't want to drown, suffer, he said, so take me with you. I don't want to get all wet and suffer for this long. Fox said, I'll take you, he said. But he said, I want you to go crawl in the end over there and don't you peek, he said. Well, Curtis said, all right, I'll do that. I won't look. But when he got in there and it started to rain and flood, he made a little hole in there and he watched what was going on. So when the water went down and it landed on this island here, and there was nothing here, it was just a rock pile. And the old coyote said, how are we going to live? There's nothing here. So the fox said, I made another place on the other island, he said, and you can go over there and you teach there, he said. Don't teach the people like you did before. You teach them the right way, and they'll survive. Everything will be all right. But if you teach them wrong, he said, you're going to destroy yourself again. This time you'll burn it. So he went over to the other side, and he started teaching the people wrong from right there, as soon as he got there. So now, the destruction is coming. The next thing he said, this time we'll burn it and you will set the fire. He, talking to the old coyote, you will set it. Now the coyote in this part, who is he? he's the people themselves. So then he went on to tell how they were going to do it. He said, when they build a ladder to the moon, he said, the oldest one is going to shoot first, he said. Then the young brother will shoot next because he don't want to be beat. Then they'll build the steps, platforms, whatever you want to call it, he called it steps. Then he said they'll build a house. And when they put that house upon the moon and the people start to occupy it or live in it, when they put their knee down to go in, he said, that's the time, he said, that the ladder will break and the people will fight, the two brothers. And he said the ocean between the two countries will boil because they'll drop baskets full of ashes in it. Now that's coming. And it's getting closed. They have built these houses already. They've done it twice that I know of, rebuilt it twice. The next one is going up there because everything happens in threes. Everything. Even life is in three stages. Take a look at a butterfly, for instance. A butterfly has three lives, three different forms of life. People have three different forms of life. All animals have three different forms of life. All vegetation has three different forms of life. Think about it.
How do people have three different forms?
They're an egg first. A fertilized egg. Then you come as a little person. Then you come as a afterlife. Your spirit goes on to another life. So you have three different forms of life.
You know, I just interviewed somebody who said the oceans are getting warmer.
When you drop things in the ocean, when you put things in the water, what does it do? It starts in the bottom, starts to foment, and creates a heat. Look how much trash, garbage, that they have shoved into the ocean. No wonder it's heating up. Look how much atomic energy has went into the ocean that they have already used.
What do you have to do now to protect the earth here in your area?
Try to educate people not to do what they're doing, not to create or rebuilding something that is destroying themselves. Stop it. Quit while it's still safe yet. Atomic energies or whatever there is. Don't give those scientists any more money to create this destruction that they're creating. Everything that they create, everything that they fix, everything that they do is harmful. Go back to where the Chinese made gunpowder. That was the start of it. All right, when they made it for pleasure. Something that they could look at popping and making noise. But the other part of the coyote, he took that and said, I can make missiles out of them. I can make something that will kill people a long ways off. I won't have to use my arrow anymore. I can get rid of that sword. I won't have to use that. I can just pop them off. So he created that. And it's got worse and worse and worse. First it was just an old single shot gun that they had to pour powder in, tamp it down, and set it off with another little dose of powder with a match to shoot it. And now it's an automatic thing that they can just load it up and pull the trigger and it'll shoot it 1,000 rounds within minutes. That's what I mean by The old coyote's always fixing things better. What's going on here is going on all over the world. All over the world, everybody is into this mess. And there's people all over this world that is fighting it or talking about it. But the government or the old coyote is a little bit bigger than they are and overrides them. Coyote is a lot of different things. Government, corporations, timber outfits, munition factories, car factories, everything. Cities. People that live in cities. Where do they get their food? From the store? Well, that's people's thinking. But they don't get it from the store. They get it from out here on the little farms. But they're destroying the farms now. They're building more cities on the flat ground where they could raise food. They ain't building them up on the hillside where nothing grows. They're building it down on the good ground. That's the coyotes thinking, because it's easy to build it down there. So these are the things that I talk about. These are the things that I was taught when I was a little boy, and I never forgot it. That's why my people were called the people with ears. Isatui means people with ears, people that listened and heard all these things. That's the whole land of my people. And the little other names that go within that land to where we came from, who we are. This is why I even tell some old people, such as I said a while ago over there, I don't open my mouth because I don't hear old people talking about what they're supposed to be talking about. They're always talking about their griefs they have with the government, how the government treats them. Well, that's kind of their own fault because they let it happen. And they let money get in their way, and they think about money more than they do about life. I never did think about money. I really don't care about it. I just got enough to live on, and that's all I care. And everything will come around someday. It'll all change because our stories tell it. He said that the people will get mad someday and destroy the old coyote. And then everything will start growing good again. There'll be plenty of food. And then the old coyote will come back and he will join the people.
That was the story of Coyote, told by Mr. Willard Rhodes from the Isatwe Band of Pitt River Indians near Mount Shasta, California. We were sitting on the banks of a river in view of Mount Shasta in the middle of a summer camp of the Indigenous Environmental Network. When I thanked him and was about to leave, he gave me another story. Here is the journey of the lizard and the spider.
Two boys were sitting on their house. One of them was listening on his web. The other was watching, looking across the other side. And one of them was the little spider. He was the one that was listening on his web. The little lizard, that little tiny little lizard, you don't never get over an inch long. He was looking across the other side. Now these two, this little spider listens on his web all the time. He makes that little antenna and he listens on it. That little lizard can see a long ways. He can see a little tiny bug way over there and he'll go over there and catch it. And these are watching. That's the reason they use these two names. And they said, looking and listening, and they said, well, the people on the other side are forgetting their teaching. They're forgetting, and they're doing things that they shouldn't do. Maybe we can go over and help them. Maybe. So we'll go talk to our grandfather. So they went down and they asked their grandfather. He said, we want to go across the other side because the people over there are going wrong and we might be able to help them. Grandfather, he said, yes, you boys got a good thought, but you can't go until you go and ask your grandmother. If she says all right, then you can go. So they went down to the river where the grandmother was fixing her acorns and cleaning it. And they told her what they wanted to do. She said, you boys got a good thought. You might be able to handle or help one or two. So she made them small in their namesake. And she rolled them up in her fanning basket. A fanning basket's about that big, round, and it's shaped like a saucer. And when you roll it up, it looks like a cigar. And she rolled them up and put them inside there and towed them across the water. When they landed, they became their own natural size, and they looked. They looked at the people, and then they looked at themselves, and they said, we can't show up like this. We won't be able to open our mouth. They'll kill us before we can open our mouth. So they made themselves little again, and then they watched. And this little spider said, this girl comes down here every morning and drinks water here this spring. I'm going to jump in her cup, and I'll be born from her, he said. The little lizard said, those two old people never had any children. I'm going to be born from her, he said. So that's how they got there. The little spider was killed, and he was brought back over here. The little lizard was killed, and he's still over there. So if you go up in the high mountains now, you'll find cocoons, big silver cocoons, about that long. And if you open them up, you'll see a little man laying in there. He's got his hair braided down his side here. He's got little eyes, nose, and mouth. And his hands are folded across his chest. He said, and you see that, then you'll know where he's at. He is still sleeping. And when he wakes up, that's when the destruction will start.
That was the story of the lizard and the spider told by Mr. Willard Rhodes, recorded at a summer camp on the land of the hereditary chief of the Ajumawi, another band of the Pitt River Indians. It has become very rare that these stories are told to strangers like me, but Mr. Rhodes made it very clear that he wants them to be told and passed on. The way I understand it is that he believes that in spite of the great danger to the planet, we do have a choice in the outcome. Maybe Willard Rhodes gave away the gift of his story to remind us of the option and opportunity. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look for the newest programs page. There you can also subscribe to weekly free podcasts. My name is Maria Gelöden. Thank you for listening.